Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Now, I would like to talk about active mentoring just a little bit and then close. Active mentoring. Again, as I say, in active mentoring, we need all five dynamics: attraction, relationship, responsiveness, accountability, and empowerment. In your book, it's chapter 3. I'm coming to chapter 3 now. The first one, I'm going to talk about the first one quickly here. Active discipler. Discipling is a process in which a more experienced follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, relate to a young believer to share knowledge, to share skills and basic philosophy and doctrine to help that young believer to grow to become a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still need this kind of discipleship in the church. We have new believers in the church every Sunday. Don't ignore these people. Get to know them. On Sunday, when they accept Christ, go and shake hands with them and say, "What is your name? Can I pray for you?" And build relationship as soon as possible. In fact, many of you already know that we're going to bring lunch back to the church, I believe at least a couple times a month. The reason we want to bring lunch back so that we can get the fellowship back in the church again. We feel that the fellowship kind of get loose now because we don't have time with one another. And not only that, in the lunchtime, the new believer will stick around, eat lunch, and then we can go and build relationship and try to invite that person to come to care group and start to disciple them, to lay down the foundation for them. This is important. Don't ignore this part. I believe that if you all are willing to disciple people like this, are willing to take care of new believers, God is going to send in more into our church. How do you feel if a woman gave birth to a baby and then that woman in the hospital throw that baby in a garbage can and never take care of the baby? How would you feel about that hospital and about that mom? Huh? Terrible. Will you close that hospital? You're going to call the government and say, "Close that hospital. The baby died. The baby go to the garbage can. And the mom need to go to jail." The same thing in the church. If somebody accept Christ in the church and we don't take care of them, we just let them die spiritually, we are doing the same thing. It's terrible. We need to take care of new believers in the church. We need to reach out to them, show love to them. A discipler does not have to be a mature Christian. A discipler does not need to be a leader in the church, a pastor or elder or care group leader. But a discipler is the one who already has established the Christian walk, the foundation of repentance, going to church, reading the Bible and pray. They may not be mature Christian yet, but they already have foundation. And that person has a heart to look after a young believer and pass on the basic teaching, the basic foundation of a Christian life to that young believer. Definitely, if a disciple is a mature Christian, the process of discipleship will be stronger and faster than a young believer. I give you an example. Maybe you are not a good teacher. You are 1 year old Christian in the church, but you have a burden for new believers. You see a new believer come in, you build relationship, and then you say, "Can I meet you on a regular basis? I'm going to give you CD to listen. We can sit down and study this lesson together. I'm going to buy the book, Establishing Christian Walk, Lifestyle, and we can go through the book together. I may not be able to teach you as well as a CD, but let's go through the lesson together. Let's build the foundation together." That is a discipler. You may not be a powerful teacher and preacher, but you can use other resources like CD or tape or book and sit down and help that person to grow. It's a teamwork. You can work with your care group leader and other leaders in the church. But somebody need to really go one-on-one and pick that person up and say, "I'm going to help you to grow and establish your Christian walk as a disciple of Christ." Somebody need to take care of that baby, feed the milk, help to take a shower. You know what I mean? Like, spiritually, I'm not talking about physically. you don't go and help that person take a shower. But spiritually, try to help that person. Maybe come to church, sit with that person in the church on Sunday. And then when the pastor starts to lay hand, you turn around and say, I think you should go out. Let's go out together. And let's get lay hand together. Discipler. Last Sunday, I noticed that one of our members, who is still a few year old Christian, she's not even a leader in the church. She is in the lady care group. She grabbed the hand of a new believer. And I just found out the name yesterday by asking Pastor Da. Pastor Da, who is that lady? I came out with that lady. The older believer came out with a young believer. She told me, oh, this is the person. I now know that this is a young believer in your care group. That young believer came out with the older believer, stand together, and the young believer fell under the power. She was encouraged to come out to the prayer line. That is a disciple. Lead another person to meet God. Help that person, a baby Christian, to grow up, to become a toddler, and to in the Lord. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to do. If I can give the job of being a pastor in this church to some of you, I got to go back to do that job again. It's fun. Actually, I talked to Pastor Da 2 days ago. I have a chance to kind of look at a movie about upcountry in Thailand, like really remote in the mountain with tribal people. You know, I watched and I have so much compassion for these people. Who are going to go and preach the gospel to them? Who are going to go and tell them about Jesus? I was thinking in my heart when I saw all these tribal people who just worship demons, worship idols in Thailand and have a lot of weird, you know, practice in Thailand. They don't know Jesus. And I turned to Da and say, you know, Da, I'm willing to go and be a pastor in that village and disciple these people and teach them the basic again. I'm willing to go there and be a pastor of a small church in that tribal village. I'm willing to. I'm serious. I really speak from my heart and say, I'm happy to go there and just be a pastor of a 25-member church to disciple these people. I don't mean that the church is going to stay 25. It will grow. But the heart is there for these new believers, for the sheep of God. But then I turn around and say, Da, even though I want to do that, but I don't think I should. Because I think my gifting right now is for international, not for that tribal village, only one church. I need to go and visit many churches, not to be a local pastor of one church. Maybe one day I need to go and help Big Island, a church, a revival church in Big Island. A lot of new believers come in. Then I need to go help for a while and then move and then keep going back. Like Apostle Paul, he traveled back and forth to help different churches. I'm in that position right now. But if you ask me, am I willing to go to that mountain and pastor that 25 people? I am willing to. You see what I mean? It's a heart of God. It's a heart of a good shepherd that God put into our life. Amen? Hallelujah. The question come up. When is discipleship or the initial stage of discipleship finished? How long does this discipleship relationship lasts? How long will it last? 6 months? How many people can answer? 6 months? 1 year? 5 years? 2 years? The answer is, I cannot tell how long. Actually, the best question is not how long. The best question is, what are the signs that the new believers is becoming a disciple and don't need you anymore? That is the best question. Not how long. Some people may take 6 months. Some people may take 1 year. Some people may take 2 years. What are the signs? Very simple answer. The sign is this, that a new believer has moved from the stage of dependency on you to walk with God. You need to call them up to come to church. You need to go and read the Bible with that person. You need to encourage that person to pray. Move from the dependent stage into the stage of following God independently by themselves. They will come to church on their own. You don't need to bug them to go to care group anymore. You don't need to keep pushing them to read the Bible anymore. They don't have to depend on man all the time. That is the sign of stopping discipleship. I'm talking about the initial state of discipleship because we are talking about discipler right now, active disciple, the new believers. They establish the Christian lifestyle. The principle of God has been internalized to become their habit. They will wake up on Sunday and go to church on their own. They will get up, get to the car on Wednesday night or Friday night and go to care group without you calling them. They will get up in the morning and pray and read the Bible themselves. They will come to church and say, can I get involved and serve God in the church? Amen. Hallelujah. That is the sign of people who pass the stage of early discipleship. Let me conclude. Three things that you want to see a new believer establish. Three things. You disciple them to the point that they will have these three kind of lifestyle. Three things. Number one, devotion. They are willing to meet God themselves or prayer. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. At one time, the Lord told me to read the full gospel. Just keep reading. And one thing that really woke me up about the life of Jesus Christ, when I read the full gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed a lot. Did you know that? The Bible always says, he ministered and then he went out into the solitary place and he prayed. He prayed all night. He has a lifestyle of prayer. If Jesus prayed a lot, how much do we need to pray? A lot more. Is that right? So, we train people to pray. Number two, we train people to take God's word into their life, to equip them, to transform them, and to edify them. They read the Bible themselves. They go to the CD table and pick up the CD themselves. You don't need to shuffle the CD into their mouth, into their hand. They will go and say, can I listen to this teaching series? I want to learn more. I want to understand more. They feed themselves. They begin to want to, hungry to learn more about God. I noticed that Pastor Da fed herself all the time. Now she is listening to the CD series called Touching Heaven, Changing Earth. And she said that she listened the second time after the camp. She learned even more now. She said, wow, listening to CD in the car really get on you because you can concentrate and stop and pray and think. It's good to really get the Word of God into your mind on a regular basis. Even the teaching that you already learned 2 years ago. Sometimes you listen to the third time, you gain something that you never heard before. Amen? Feeding themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Number three. Actually, four things, not three things. I'm sorry. Number three, relational. These new believers will develop a lifestyle of community, fellowshipping with other believers. If a new believer comes into the church and still at 11 a.m. shoot out of the door, go to home, never see them again during the week, I still feel concerned about that new believer. New believers who have a lifestyle of discipleship or following Christ will hang around, fellowship, go to care group, like to talk to people, like to fellowship with people. That is the lifestyle of disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship, loving the community of God. Number four, actually that is in Acts, you can write it down. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship. Number four, ministry. They begin to have a desire to serve other people and to reach out to the lost. A disciple who turned into a lifestyle of following Christ will participate in activities in the church using their giftings. They have a concern for the non-believers. They want to share what God gives to them to other people. They begin to pray for other people. In fact, if they can establish this lifestyle, it doesn't mean that it stopped there. After that, it will go to the next stage called spiritual guide. They continue to develop all these things to the deeper level. You understand what I mean? But the foundation, the first few months, you need to help new believers to have this, pray, read the Bible, fellowship with believers in the church, and start to serve the Lord, getting involved in the local church. After that is established, then they move to the next level, spiritual guide. But they should be able to do all these four things without depending on the encouragement or the work of a man to come and try to tell them what to do. It should be natural, become a habit inside them. Amen. And I think I should stop here and continue next time about the disciple. You think it's God's desire for you to disciple people, to mentor people? Amen. I want to say this, our church, we don't have the system that a pastor will minister on the pulpit by himself and the rest of the congregation come in and just listen. We want to train you that you will be able to minister to other people, that they don't depend on me, but they will be ministered by you. You will go out and be able to disciple other people, train other people, coach other people. Amen. Why don't you have a desire to be used by God and ask God to really open the door for you to be able to train other people, help other people to grow? We have only one life to live. Why don't you leave a legacy to the next generation? I want to encourage you, if you disciple somebody, mentor somebody, and sound like the mentoring process fail, don't lose heart. Amen? Many things that God allowed it to happen in your life is a training process that God wants you to learn. Failure is not a failure until you quit. If you quit, you fail. But a failure is just a stepping stone to the next success. So if you feel that you fail, the sheep doesn't grow, the sheep backslide, leave the church, don't stop. Keep going. Keep training people. Keep going, doing the right thing, and God gonna bless you. It's all the process of learning. God wants to teach you through both success and failure. God wants to change you. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep discipling people. Keep mentoring people. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people have been blessed by mentoring other people? Mentoring other people. Ashley can give a testimony a little bit. How have you been blessed of mentoring people? Can you share with us? May I have the microphone? We encourage people how you have been blessed by taking care of younger believers in the care group.
Well, Odessa... Joanne assigned me, Nina, originally to be her mentor. But actually, Odessa was my first disciple, and I had never done anything. I had never even talked to people about my faith before. And I met her in the hallway on my floor. And she was in my chemistry class, and I saw her in the dorms. She was in my chemistry group, and we would just say hi, and I'd help her with homework and stuff. And one night she saw me in the hallway and she came over, and we ended up talking till 4 in the morning, and it was about God, and I had never done that before with anyone, let alone some girl in my class. And I know it was the Holy Spirit, because the things that I mentioned, she, at the end, she was just like, she was just speechless. Like, she's like, I've never met anyone like you who just like talks about God like that. And I remember I asked her, can I pray for you? And she said, she looked at me and she's like, okay. And then she looked up, she's like, right now? I was like, yeah. While I'm here? I'm like, yeah. Like, out loud? I'm like, yeah. And I prayed for her, and I remember her crying, and she's just she said, like, I've never had anyone pray for me before. And it really just blessed my heart to see how God would use me like that. But that was only the beginning. And since that was first quarter, about 6 months ago. And since then, I have seen Odessa come out of depression, of insecurities. She is the joy I see in her. And she thanks me. Like, every time I see her, she just give me a hug and says, thank you, Ashley, for saving me. Because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be alive. And I wouldn't be with God. Mm. When I hear that, it really just reminds me, like, this is what God placed me on earth for.
Amen.
Yes, this is what it's Amen. About. Mm. And
Amen.
And having a destiny in my life, it's like God showing me, like, this is what I can do. And this is just one. Mm. It's the first. And don't stop there, because there are so many other students, people around the world, just like Odessa, who are going through, and you don't know, but it's God has placed us on earth to be that, to have disciples, to be that friend, and then to speak into their life and to show them that there's more than what they're in, that they don't have to just sit in a puddle of their tears and think about ending everything, about giving up on not only their dreams but life, and not giving up on people. And that's something that she reminds me, like, she thanks me, Ashley, thank you for not giving up on me. And that really just blesses me to see how much she has grown, how she walks in the Spirit. And it's not just, and I remember when the first Bible study I had been meeting with her, kind of talking and stuff like that, and I went to a Campus Crusade meeting, and I remember I was so excited when I came back, because it was a really good Bible study, and I opened the door to my room, and I found my roommate is Mormon, and I opened the door, and as soon as I opened the door, I was like, oh, there's two chairs. And I thought it was my other friend, and they were just talking. And it was this girl on my floor that I found out was interested in Mormonism. And I was trying to get in touch with her to, like, invite her to Generation Church or something, because I knew that when she saw, like, what we, like, the excitement, she wouldn't want to go to Mormon temple or whatever. But she never called me. And when that girl turned around, it was the girl on my floor. And my heart just sank, because I didn't know what she looked like. I just heard about her. And when I saw her, that was the girl that, she was a friend of my first roommate when I was a freshman. And I remember them talking about church, and I never said anything. And when I saw her, my heart sank, and I just grabbed my shower things, and I felt like just crying, like, God, I failed you. She got to her before I did. And then God spoke to me. He's like, no, it's not over. And he immediately brought Odessa to my mind, and I'm like, Odessa, and I just walked over there with all my shower stuff, and I knocked on her door, and I was like, Odessa, and I was just standing there with my towel, and I'm like, do you want to have a Bible study? And I was like, oh, I feel like such a dork. But she looked at me, she's like, yeah, okay. And I didn't think she would say yes. I was like, okay, sure, what day is good for you? And I said, I told her about care group, and she's like, oh, are there a lot of people? And I was like, yeah, I can meet with you one-on-one, and then if you get comfortable, then we can go to care group. And so for the whole, almost the whole quarter, I met with her one-on-one. And the first one, I remember I was praying so hard, like, I don't know, I've never done this before. Like, just tell me what to say. And I was nervous, because I didn't really know where she's coming from. I don't know, like, how much she knows. She didn't have a Bible, so I bought her one. I remember running downtown and getting her a Bible the day that we met. And but really, I remember praying, I'm like, God, I just pray that by the time I graduate, she'll at least want to read the Bible on her own, and at least want to pray to you at least once in a while, like, to have that initiative at least, and to see Odessa, she's how she prays in the Spirit, like walks in the Spirit, how God speaks to her, to speak to me, and how she keeps me in line about my character, about my relationship with God, about my prayer life. Just to see how she has grown beyond what I could ever imagine. I just thought she would want to read her Bible by the end of 3 years, and in 4 months, she's speaking in tongues. She's like speaking to people on our floor about God. She's praying for people, and she's always walks around with a smile on her face. And people ask her, like, why are you so happy? And she shares with them, because I serve an amazing God, and God saved me. And that's such an amazing blessing for me, that God would even use me like in that way.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a joy to be able to see that you are used by God as a vessel to help somebody to grow. While she was talking, God kind of spoke to me that to pick up a person or two or three, and you really focus in helping that young believer to grow, is a very tangible way to show love to Jesus Christ. People can say, oh, I give money. I throw money in the offering bag. I give $10,000 to the church. But to really pour out your life to help somebody to grow, to establish and to be fruitful and multiply again, is a most tangible way to love Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't see Jesus. You don't shake his hand. But when you look after a young believer or somebody who wants to grow in the Lord and pour out your life and spend time and teach and show example, I tell you, that is powerful. It's the most tangible way, I believe, that you can show love to Jesus. Amen? And we need a lot of this kind of Christian in the world. People who are willing to give up, invest their life into somebody else and mentor somebody. Amen? Amen? Why don't we close in prayer? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this lesson. Lord, we have a vision. Our mission is to make disciples. Lord, to fill them with the fire of God. They become obedient to the word, to go and establish the revival churches in all over the world. Father, help us to finish this mission and to have the vision fulfilled that revival churches will be all over the world in our generation through our life. Expand, Lord, our territory. Expand our sphere of influence, Lord. Use everyone in this room to be a mentor of different types, be able to influence and impact and empower other people's life in this generation, Father. Use us, Lord. We love you very much, and we want to show love to you by taking care of your sheep, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yesterday, I read this scripture with Paul, my son, and one of the sentences really touched my spirit. Remember, one time a rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked Jesus, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said that you need to obey the commandments of God. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And the man said he did everything that he said. So Jesus said, okay, good. Then you sell everything and follow me and give the money to the poor. And follow me. So the key is to follow Jesus, not to do all the commandments. In fact, Jesus knew that he gonna say no. He will walk away. Actually, he did walk away. He did not want to give up money for God. And the verse 21 say, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him. Can you imagine that Jesus love this man, even though he knew that the man was going to reject him. But the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And this is how Pastor Dan and I felt when we lay hands on people, when the Holy Spirit fills us.
and we look at people, we just love them, we just feel the Spirit of Jesus inside us, love people. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 that I read. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him. It's amazing scripture. Jesus loved him. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we look at people, we will love them and really care for them. Amen. When the Lord say, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give life and give it more abundantly. In the past, when I read this scripture, it's just a scripture for me to teach and to preach. Just good scripture to quote when I preach the Word of God. But lately, it become real to me that people in this world are being attacked and being tortured and destroyed by the devil. And if they don't come to know Jesus, their life will be destroyed by the enemy. And the devil will do everything to destroy people. He come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Today I met one gentleman who get surgery and still have back pain, and still the no matter how many surgery, he still have back pain, and his wife stole money from him and left him and be with another guy, and he lost everything in his life. When I look at him and say, this is a typical case that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And when I was sitting there looking at his eyes, and I say, if you know Jesus, your life will never be the same. So I get his number, and I plan to invite him to come to certain function to get to know him first. So we need to really think about the lost out there. Think about this. If we don't invite them, you see the picture of a bad guy standing against these people and try to cut their throat, try to pick up their hair and punch and destroy these people. And we are the ambassador of God here who will go out and help these people to come out from being destroyed by the enemy, by sin, by the devil. Go back home and meditate on this scripture again and again. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. And we need to offer life to people, because automatically if they don't come to know Jesus, they would be destroyed either by sickness or by broken home or by something going to happen to them. People are vulnerable to be you. They are open themselves up to be destroyed by the enemy. So we need to care for them and love them, that they would, we don't want to see them destroyed by the enemy. Amen. So if you really see that in the scripture, the truth, then you cannot sit still. You want to really reach out to the lost out there to help them to come out from the hands of the murderer, the hands of the robber, which means the devil, the hand of destroyer. So we need to help these people. Amen. Why don't we pray to ask the Lord to speak to us? I'm going to do a short teaching here. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us your word, helping us to grow. We want to, Lord, become mature. We want to be used by you. We want to say like Jesus said, Lord, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his will. Lord, we want to do the same thing. We want to fulfill the calling of God in our life. We want to obey the great commission, that is to go and make disciples of all nations. Father, we believe you give us the Holy Spirit, not just to feel good, but to work, to do the ministry, and to go out to make a big impact to society, to save people out of the hands of the enemy, of the destroyer, of the murderer, of the father of lies, the devil. And we have the power. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world, Father. We thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord Jesus commands every Christian to go save souls by the power of the Holy Spirit and make disciples. And Jesus promised us that if we do this, He will be with us to the end of the age. In fact, there's nothing better than to have the presence of God. Jesus said, all authority, all power in heaven, on earth, and under the earth has been given to Him. What He tried to say is that if we really participate in reaching out to the lost and making disciples, He will be with us. When He is with us, it also means that His authority, the highest authority, going to be with us too, because He is the one who holds the authority. So it's a privilege to have the presence of God. It's a privilege that Jesus Christ is with us while we are doing the Great Commission. And I want to encourage everyone in this room and everyone who listened to this teaching through the CD or podcast to really make a decision that in my life, I'm going to follow the footstep of Jesus Christ, that is to go and make disciples. I want to encourage everyone to spend your life, spend your time, your energy to build somebody up around you, to build somebody up to rise up to become disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you die and leave this world, you will build a lot of people around you to grow up and to become like Christ. Don't just live in this earth just for the material things and for the money and for the your dream of your life to become a businessman or whatever. But you need to really spend your life and your time to build somebody up to become disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a decision. No one can force you. God will never force you. God will never really put His hand on your neck and squeeze your neck and say, you have to do it. He wants our free will. He wants us to make that decision ourselves. I made this decision when I was a new believer a long time ago. So in this class, we want to talk about how to make disciples. And if you can go back to get the lesson from last time, you will hear that we want to be mentor. We want to disciple. We want to help people to grow. And we categorize different ways of making disciples. Actually, there are many ways that we can participate. We may be used by God to make disciples in many, many ways in one person. For example, for Mr. A, you may make disciples in his life one way. But for Mr. B, you may make disciples in his life another way. God can use us different forms and different methods to make disciples. Last time I talked about active discipleship or active mentoring. And I just mentioned a little bit, not very long because of the limited time. There are three kinds of active mentoring or active discipleship. Active means ongoing, on a regular basis. And I mentioned last time that the first kind of active mentoring we call discipler. The word discipler, I just want to reveal a little bit. It means you help a young convert or a new believer who just accepts Christ to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, you try to help that person to build the lifestyle of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is the early stage, the initial stage of discipleship. When people come into the church, they just get saved. They still have the old lifestyle. They are not disciples of Jesus yet by lifestyle. Their heart may be there, but the lifestyle is not there. So our job is to spend time either one-on-one or as a group with this young believers. In our church, we really encourage young believers to be discipled or mentored by somebody else who has been discipled already. You may not be a mature Christian. You don't need to be a mature Christian to help somebody to develop a lifestyle of discipleship, but at least you are a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot lead people to where you never have been to. Is that right? You need to be there first to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I mentioned last time that there are a few habits or lifestyle that you want to help develop in these people. Number one, we call devotion. We want to help them to develop a lifestyle of spending time with God. They pray, they read the Bible, they really love to spend time with God. Like yesterday, I discipled my son. I went into his bedroom and I asked him to read the Bible and pray with me. So he knelt down and prayed with me, and we read the Bible for a while, and I explained the Bible, the scripture to him. I tried to train him to spend time with God. The second thing I mentioned last time is that we disciple people, or we mentor people, to have a lifestyle of loving the Word of God and want to take the Word of God into their life. The Word of God is the standard, is the main idea, is the principle that we follow. So we want to train them to love the Word of God. Every time when people are not hungry for the Word of God, I am concerned. When people just ignore the Word of God, I'm concerned, because it's not a good sign. It means that that person is spiritually weak. He doesn't understand that the Word of God is the main food for their life. How many people eat one time a year? How many people eat one time a month? How many times you eat a day? At least, how many times you eat a day in order to survive? 4 times a day, okay. How many times?
5 or 6
times. We need to eat a few times a day, or at least one time a day. The same thing, the Bible is a spiritual food. We need to encourage the mentoree or the new believer to love the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, read the Word of God on a daily basis. Number 3, we talk about relational. We need to train them to be responsible member of a local church. No Christians in the world can survive by being by themselves. They need to be in a community. They need to learn how to fellowship and relate to other believers. You will not grow if you just spend time with God by yourself at home. You need fellowship. You need to be together with other believers. So you train them to go to church on a regular basis, to become their habit, to become their lifestyle. They want to go to care group. They want to get involved in the local church. For me, if I don't wake up on Sunday to go to church, I feel very weird if I don't show up in the church on Sunday, because it become my lifestyle now that on Sunday, I need to show up in the church and be with people. And I spend time here all day until 7 p.m. every Sunday. And I never feel bored or feel like a duty. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing for me to be able to fellowship with people and spend time with people. So that is number 3, relationship with other believers. Number 4, we need to train disciples to live outwardly, not just inwardly. We don't want to train people to be selfish, but we want them to use their gifts, their talents, their time to reach out to other people and to help other people. In other words, we want them to get involved in a ministry. We encourage every believer who come to church to start to get involved in a care group ministry, in any ministry, maybe worship ministry, maybe children ministry, youth ministry, whatever ministry they can get involved. Everybody should serve God. Everybody should get involved in a ministry. So we train people to use their gift. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So 4 things: devotion, spend time with God, hungry for the Word, and spend time with God, including fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. When you come to the prayer line and you lie down on the floor to receive the Holy Spirit, and to that is the time to you spend time with God. Or you may kneel down. I don't mean that you need to fall down. You can kneel down. You can sit down, whatever, or you can stand there and raise your hand up if your knees and your leg are strong enough to stand for 50 minutes. Whatever position, but that is the time that you want to fellowship and commune with the Holy Spirit. And also encourage people to really get involved in the fellowship with the believers and get involved in the ministry or serving the Lord. Now I want to give some practical tips for mentor, discipler. How many people want to take care of somebody, young believer, to help them grow? Raise your hand up. It's a privilege. It's a good thing to do, to help somebody to grow and to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish the lifestyle of discipleship. Select carefully. We have only 24 hours a day. There are always more people to take care than the time we have to spend with people. So you have to select carefully. You look for the people who are hungry, people who really mean business with God, people who are really hungry for God and really commit to God. The word faith in the Hebrew and in the Greek language means on the side of the character than the content of what we believe. What it means is that faith involves commitment and faithfulness. So you're looking for people who are faithful, who are hungry and be committed to follow Jesus Christ. You don't want to mentor somebody who are not sure or who just kind of don't want to commit to anything, because you're going to waste your time. We have only 24 hours a day and we are getting older. I used to run around, disciple everybody when I started the church. But I have learned a good lesson for years that I wasted my time so much in people who are not meaning business with God. And I just feel bad for my wife. I really feel bad for my kids, because instead of spending time with my wife and my kids, I'm spending time with somebody who don't want anything anyway. And I try to chase after them and they don't want God anyway. And I try to pull them and they say, you know, I just don't care what you say. So we need to look for the heart of people who really mean business with God and who want to commit to God, to Christ, to follow God. It's the heart condition. You cannot force people. Why some people love God more than another person? Because it's a heart condition. I pray that we will have a lot of people who really have a good heart condition, not have a block in their artery, in the heart, or a heart attack or something, or heart failure. We want to see people who have the right heart and follow God. Why David loved God more than other people? Because of his heart. So we pray that God will change the heart of people, that they will love God more. And I want to encourage all of you to select carefully. Number two, after you select somebody, then establish the important habits in their life of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What are the important critical habits that I just mentioned a while ago? What are they? Faithfulness, love the word, devotion, critical habits. Fellowship means commit to a local church, being hungry for God. So we need to develop all this kind of habit in their life right away. Right away. Talk to them. Mention to them that you need to spend time with God. You need to read the Bible. Just go to church. Don't miss church. You encourage them in different ways to develop this kind of critical habits in being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, you discern the uniqueness of that person. Each person was created to be unique. You discern the uniqueness. For example, if a person loves the area of children, they just love to spend time with children, maybe it's good to try to connect that person to the people who are doing the children ministry, so that people of the same kind of interest and the same kind of gift can build one another up. If you notice that that person is interested in worship, then you try to connect that person to the worship ministry, so that the person around him or her are those who are interested in worship too. So you notice the uniqueness, the habits, the passion, the gifts, the interests of that person. Don't try to force a person to be your way. Don't try to force a person to be the way you want. You need to follow what God created that person to be. Not only that, you try to make sure that one day you're going to let loose. You're going to let go of that person. You don't hang on to that person forever. The initial stage of discipleship have a limit time. You don't own a person. You don't try to keep that person with you forever. One time you need to let that person go to the next stage. And we're going to talk about next stage in a few minutes here. So we need to learn to let go. Maybe that person need to move on after finishing learning the lesson or developing the lifestyle of being a disciple. That person may have to move on to be with another person to help that person to grow. It may take 6 months. It may take 3 months. It may take a year. I noticed that some people grow very fast. Some people grow slowly. So it's not about the matter of how many months or how many years, but it's a matter when that person has developed the lifestyle of discipleship, devotion, the word, going to church, fellowship, and want to serve God. One is established, then you let go. You say, we're done, you graduate. This early stage, you move on to the next stage now. Later on, after that person grow up more and you finish that stage, that person can become your friend if you don't continue that discipleship or that mentoring level. Amen. Now, if you are a new believer and you need a mentor, what you need to do? Number one, you need to pray who God leads you to be mentored by. You need to ask God and pray, lead me, Father, to have the right discipler or right mentor. And then you ask leaders in the church around you their idea and opinion. They may see things more than deeper than you, or have a more understanding of what's going on in the church, who should be your mentor. So you ask God, you ask the leader, and then after you pick somebody to mentor you, you need to be faithful. Again, I want to emphasize the word faith in the Greek and Hebrew language. It means faithful. It means commitment. To be a real Christian is about commitment. Even Jesus said, carry the cross and follow me. I mean, you are willing to die for Jesus. I wonder that how many people who sit in the church today will make it to heaven, that they claim to be Christian. I have no right to judge anybody, but God wants commitment. I mentioned the story about the young rich ruler in Mark chapter 10 a while ago, that he said he followed all the commandments of the Father. But when Jesus says, sell everything, give to the poor and follow me, the man say, no, I'm sorry. The Bible say his face fell and he looked sad and he walked away. So that man, even though he sound like very religious because he followed the law of God, but he did not have salvation because he did not commit to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, if you want to become a real Christian, you need to be faithful, you need to be responsive to the Word of God, and spend time with your mentor, spend time with your discipler or your leader. And you need to grow and establish the lifestyle of discipleship, and then you go to the next stage. This is the first stage, new believers. Help new believer to develop a discipleship lifestyle.
Next one, active mentoring. The second stage, after a new believer develops a lifestyle of discipleship, going to church on a regular basis, start to serve God, read the Bible, pray, love to spend time and fellowship with people, then we want that person to go on and move on to maturity, to develop spiritual experiences with God. And this stage we call spiritual guide. Somebody will come as a guide to help that person to grow more mature into maturity of Christ. This stage have to be done by a very mature Christian. Because if you are immature, you cannot lead another immature man to grow. So the first stage for the young believer, any committed member or disciple can do it. But for this stage, the mentor need to be more mature or more established or have more Bible knowledge and more spiritual experiences than the first stage. Because now you're going to take somebody, I compare like this. The first stage is like grade 1 to grade 8. But the second stage is like you grade 9 to finish the college. So you try to get people to finish college. That teacher need to have some more understanding of the subject better than the first 8th grade in the school. The spiritual guides or the spiritual mentor need to, again, have spiritual maturity, know how to follow the Holy Spirit, and have the lifestyle of obedience to God already. This person is not coming in to lord it over or to command the believer or the mentoree, but come in to facilitate, come in to suggest, to explain, and to motivate, not to control. We don't believe in controlling. Controlling actually is demonic. Controlling is witchcraft. If you try to manipulate somebody and control somebody to do something, you are following the spirit of witchcraft. We don't believe in controlling, but we believe in encouraging, setting good example. In this process of guiding a person to grow into spiritual maturity, this is the goal that we want to see in that person's life. This stage can be a long process, and it may change as time goes by. For example, when Pastor Tyson grew up, he moved out from the stage of new believer. Dwayne discipled Pastor Tyson to grow until he can minister, he can serve God better. But after Pastor Tyson become a pastor in the church, the responsibility of mentoring Pastor Tyson has been shifted to me, because now he need to be mentored to be a pastor. So you can see that this mentoring process can change from one mentor to another mentor to another, according to whatever is needed in that person's life. Or a person want to be a worship leader. Maybe the first few years in the church, he was mentored by somebody else. But once he get into becoming a worship leader, he will be mentored by the worship leader himself or herself. Your example, Yukiko. When she first came in, she was mentored by somebody else. And later on, Wang Ji mentored her closely, tried to train her to be a worship leader and grow up in that ministry. So the spiritual guide can change as time goes by. The spiritual guide cover many issues in a person's life. Number one, help that person to love Jesus and to have Jesus Christ as the center of his life. Christ is the center. Number two, help that person to develop inner spiritual maturity or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number three, help that person to live out that inner life. Number four, help that person to learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit, to hook up to the Holy Spirit, learn how to walk in the Spirit. Number five,
help that person to develop spiritual gift of the spiritual manifestation of the Holy Spirit, to exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number six, to help that person to develop interdependence with other people of God, to work together in the team, not one-man show. Everybody should learn how to work together with the team in the church. Work as a team. That is something that every believer needs to develop. You notice that a lot of people first came to church, they want to do things their own way and their own style, and they don't care about what other people are doing. They just, this is my way, I'm going to do this way. But after a while, God starts to crush, start to mold, and they get discouraged, and they get sharpened and molded, and eventually they become more humble and start to learn how to work with other people. Amen. Amen. We need to help that person to continue to grow spiritually for the rest of his life, to continue to grow all the time, never stop. Now, I want to conclude about spiritual guide in active mentoring, helping an established disciple to grow more. In this process, what you need to do? Number one, you need to create an atmosphere of trust and credibility. You need to earn the trust for people to listen to you. So you have to watch your lifestyle carefully, how you speak, how you behave, because these people watching you, if your lifestyle is not matched up with what you preach, or they see that you are not sincere, you are not trustworthy, you say one thing, you do another thing, like a hypocrite, people will not listen to you. People will not be willing to be mentored by you. So you need to develop the trust and the credibility in your life. You need to grow and watch your lifestyle carefully. The second thing you need to do in spiritual guide is to sense or discern where the disciple or the mentoree is at that point of his life or her life, so that you can help that person to go to the next stage. Is he at 9th grade? Is he at 10th grade? What area in his life that he still need to develop more? You need to sense where that person is. And then also sense what God is doing in that person's life too. Because it's all about God. It's not about you. You are not the center of discipleship or mentoring. God is the center. We want to lead that person to the will of God, to the perfect will of God. And then you need to give some feedback to that person. If they do something wrong, give feedback so that person can change and grow and develop. And if they do something right, you give affirmation. You're doing a good job. So feedback, affirmation, and also teach the Bible, give biblical perspective. If they have any misunderstanding, we need to show in the Word of God. We need to encourage them to really get into the Word of God and grow spiritually according to the Word of God. And last thing that you need to do, if you feel that that person should be released and get to the next level by other people, or maybe they do so well, they can rise up and start to go, do whatever they need to do, they don't need constant active discipleship anymore, then you release them. We need to learn to release people. Some people in the church don't need active discipleship anymore. They are released already. They don't need constant active discipleship, but they are still discipled. Okay, don't take me wrong. They are still discipled by other ways that I'm going to talk in other lesson. We all still are discipled, but not active disciples. Some of us don't need active disciple anymore. I'm talking about active disciple right now. Some of us need distant discipleship, distant mentoring, or inactive discipleship. But in this part of the lesson, I'm talking about ongoing, spending time on a regular basis. Release and then bless them. May God bless you to go out and be fruitful and fill the earth with spiritual children. Amen. Amen. Father, we ask you, Lord, to anoint us and use us to make disciples, to mentor people. Father, this church will be full of disciples of the end time church. Lord, help all of us to have a generous spirit, that we will not just live our life for ourselves, but we are willing to give our time, energy, strength, gifts, and talents to build another person up, Lord. Help us, Father, remind us each day that we live on earth here to pass the baton to the next generation. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.